Now would be a great time for you to get your outlines out as we are going to head into our Bible study. What has happened to create this study has happened to me many times before. I will go on a vacation, of all things. I will go on vacation with my wife, Miss Kelly, with the idea to recharge my batteries, which always happens. And God will show up on this vacation. This has happened to me on cruise ships and all kinds of different places. And God will speak to my heart very powerfully through just some kind of interaction or something that I see. So this happened to me 12 days ago. It was a Monday morning, and I was in Key Largo, Florida. And I was in a small cafe called Mama Max. Mama Max, this is where God hangs out, just to let you know. He hangs out at Mama Max. And Miss Kelly and I had finished our breakfast, and I was paying the bill, went over to pay the bill, when I noticed a magnet that was a part of a rack of magnets that they were selling. And the magnet that caught my eye was a very simple one. It was a gray magnet with dark gray letters, and it simply said, "Enjoy life." Enjoy life. I stared at that thing. I stared at this unassuming magnet, and God started flooding my heart with thoughts. I'm just paying a bill, but this is what's happening. Enjoy life. And it made me start wondering, am I enjoying life? Are others that I know, are they enjoying life? If you are, if you're someone who's enjoying life, great. Go down to Key Largo, Mama Max, buy yourself the magnet, and put that magnet on your car because you're enjoying life. But if not, if you're not enjoying life, why is that? I left the restaurant, but God had me going now. I kept thinking of individuals, I would think of people I know, who would say that they are not enjoying life. And I kept rolling this over and over in my mind and trying to get to the root of why someone would not be enjoying life. So I dug and I dug and I dug, and eventually I landed on grievances that these people would probably come up with. For someone not enjoying life, I think the first grievance is that their expectations are not being met. They have expectations and they're just not being met in their life. Another might be where I have dreams and desires, and they're not coming to fruition. Perhaps another would say, my life is heavy. My life is very heavy and very difficult. Another might say that they feel empty and they feel unfulfilled. Another would say that they're just not getting something that they want. And for everyone I thought of who would say they are having difficulty enjoying life, it boiled down to kind of one overarching statement for me, and that would be this. Something is not happening in their life and in their world that they want to happen. It's that simple. That's the telephone pole. You can sharpen that down to a pencil point and go to your individual things, which is what we're going to wind up doing. But the main thing is something is not happening in their life and in their world that they want to happen. So I kept letting God run what he was doing through my heart. What I would do is as I was all in these different places with Miss Kelly, I would send myself texts. I just kept sending myself texts with ideas that God was bringing to my heart. Now, eventually, I wound up with this. Yeah, that's what I wound up with. That doesn't need to make any sense to you right now. Believe me, but this helped me. That's let you know I have some rhyme or reason where I'm going. This may look like zaniness to you, but it's actually a flow chart that makes sense to me, and I'm working on this flow chart, and it is intended to diagnose and to remedy those who are not enjoying life. That's where we're headed. That just to let you know that's kind of the outline. You see, Jesus promises you and me that he wants to provide us with life at its best, an enjoyable life. That doesn't mean it won't be free of hardships, but an enjoyable life. John 10:10, Jesus said, "I come that they may have life and have it at its fullest." In fact, When you look at the nine fruits of the Spirit, there's more, but we look at the nine that are mentioned in the Bible. Number two in the fruits of the Spirit, the one right after the first one, which is love, is joy. And that's nothing to trivialize. That's nothing that we should dismiss or nothing that we should give up on in our life. But even with Jesus' promise to bring us life at its fullest, guess what? Still, even God followers are some of the people I thought of, would join in the chorus of, I'm not enjoying life. And I find that surprising, don't you? Therefore, I am going on a personal crusade. But I am taking you on my personal crusade with me. How's that sound? We are going to use the Bible, and we are going to help rescue those people who are not enjoying life. And I want to spend the next couple of months, probably, analyzing our life conditions and applying what the Bible instructs us to do so we can all drive around with a magnet on our car that says, I'm enjoying life. How's that sound? I think that you will find that this process that we're going to go through, though, it's very much like the gospel. It's incredibly simple, but it's incredibly difficult as well. It's both. So, Westbridge, are you ready to enjoy life? Are you ready to start this process? Here we go. We are going to turn to Ephesians chapter 2 because we have to start at the very beginning. The Bible tells us start right at the beginning. We're going to go through all kinds of stuff as you saw the flowchart. But tonight we're going to focus on the beginning that Jesus talked about in John chapter 10, verse 10. But Ephesians 2 helps us with that. Here's what it tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. We know we've all sinned. So talk about we were dead because of our disobedience, our sin. That's verse 1. Take it down to verse 4. But God is so rich in mercy. And he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sin, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that we've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Here is the first truth you need to know. You cannot enjoy life if you are dead. You cannot enjoy life if you are dead. Now, I'm not talking about breathing. I'm not talking about that kind of life. I'm not talking about your heart's not pumping dead. I'm talking about a different kind of dead. You can't enjoy life if you're dead. The Bible tells us very emphatically that we are all born spiritually dead. That's what we just read. That's right. On your happy birthday that you have somewhere back in your past, you were born physically. You have your physical side. That same day, your happy birthday, you were born mentally. You've got your smarts. You got your intellect. You were also born emotionally. You have feelings, right? But you and me and everyone else ever born was born spiritually dead. You have an eternal soul. And that soul, in biblical terms, is dead. It is dormant. When we're born, it's dormant. It's unutilized. Now, what does our soul, what does that spirit part of that spiritual component, what does it do? Well, it is our umbilical cord. It is our telephone line to God. Without an alive spiritual component, we can't know God. We can't know him without that. Without an awakened soul, we cannot understand God's truth. We can't. Without an initiated spirit, we cannot bask in the blessings of God's leadership. Friends, without a second birthday, we cannot find the divine path that we were personally designed and shaped and empowered to live. God did that. Now, all these things and more are dead to us. We need not wonder why, without a God connection, we are not enjoying life. Yet, that is what is happening. It's going on all around us. People accept a dead life, and a dead life is like driving around in a car that has three of its wheels on, one wheel completely missing. We run on the wheel of the physical component. We have that, so we take care of our bodies and we do all kinds of things physically. We run on our minds and look for all kinds of truth and stimulation for our brains. We run on our emotions. That's our third wheel, our feelings. We seek love. We seek happiness. And for a while, your three-wheeled car, the one with the one tire completely missing, that vehicle will get us down the road. It will. It'll get you down the road. That is, until you have to make a sharp turn. Or until things get bumpy on the road. That is when our car drops onto its axle and things start getting bad. And all of a sudden, we aren't enjoying life. We can't get to where we wanted. Life drains us of all our effort. And something is not happening in our life and in our world that we want to have happen. Now, the crazy part is that instead of finding that fourth missing wheel, that fourth missing tire that we need, instead of doing that, people will put more and more focus into the three wheels that they have. They'll just keep working on those three wheels, try to make them better. There was a very wise man in the Bible who tried to do just this. He was not enjoying life, so he started focusing on the three wheels that he had. His name was Solomon. And when he first realized he was not enjoying life, he looked to his mind. He went to that wheel. Solomon thinks, perhaps I need to know more. Maybe I need to understand more. Solving life's mysteries, maybe that's the key. Maybe this is where joy is found. Let me lean harder on my wheel of intelligence and my smarts. Unfortunately, gang, we will not find the joy we're looking for. We will not be satisfied with our own knowledge. Our own knowledge will never be enough. Albert Einstein even knew this. Even he knew this. Albert Einstein was out on a sailboat. He owned a sailboat. He's out with his friends, and he's looking up. They're all, it's nighttime. They're all laying on the deck of this sailboat. They're looking up at the sky, and they're talking about the universe, and they're talking about man. And this is when Einstein says to his friends, we know nothing at all about all this. Our knowledge is but the knowledge of school children, he said. So one of his friends laying there on the boat asked, do you think that we shall ever probe the secret? Einstein answered, possibly we shall know a little bit more than we know now. But the real nature of things, well, that we shall never know. Never. Einstein was right, but he was also wrong. If we are spiritually dead, like we talked about, running on three wheels, then no, we shall never know. You won't ever know. But if you are connected to God, if you are spiritually awakened to God's truth, then you can know how the universe was created. We can know the purpose of man. But Westbridge, all these answers come from our spiritual component, our connection to Jesus. If that is dead, we will be left with the unenjoyable desire of wanting to know, but we will not know. So Solomon, in his journey, he looked further. Solomon looked to the second wheel on his three-wheel car, called the physical ability or work. Now, if you are an industrious person, this can be a great place for you to look for enjoyment if you're industrious. So Solomon built, being very industrious, using his ability to work and his physical things, he built great cities and grand places. And he must have thought to himself, I will enjoy life if I build something. I will find that joy if I simply do. Now, I understand what he's talking about here because, you know, I tend to be in a period where I'm very industrious these days, doing a lot, making a lot happen these days. I told you before about all the jobs that I've done around the house since March. And the last one that I'm just finishing up is redoing our family room. After 22 years, the carpet that you walked on for 22 years is gone. Yeah, I should have saved it, rolled it up, and given it out as a prize. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Then you could have put that in your house and say, this is the small group carpet we used to do dance team on and everything. But Miss Kelly didn't think it was a good idea, so it didn't happen. But while I'm working on this family room, each time I get something done, because what we do as work is important to us, I sit on a spackle bucket and I look at what I did for the day. And I drink a Gatorade Zero because I'm going to cramp up that night for sure after all that work. And I look at my accomplishment. Look at that ceiling. There used to be a crack there. Not anymore. Whoops, still there. No, it's looking pretty good. And just look around the room. Everyone here probably has some kind of accomplishment that they're proud of. And you know what? You should be proud of those things. God has designed us to be people who work and create. And when we are doing the work we love, we should be pleased with the result. But, gang, it's all temporary. Everything's temporary. This is not where you're going to find your eternal joy and your enjoying life. One of my favorite stories is when I'll tell you, I went to visit Aunt Jen, who was singing up here before. I went to visit her parents who live in North Carolina, and they just moved to North Carolina. This is many years ago. And they're strong believers in Jesus Christ, and they had just bought a new, brand new house. They were excited about it, and they had us there. So me and Miss Kelly walk up to the front door for the first time. I think we had baby Katie with us. She might have been maybe 1 year old, and knocked on the door, and boom, opens the door, and it's Mr. and Mrs. O'Brien. And I'll never forget Dave O'Brien. He had that big face, his big old Santa Claus beard. And he said, your house is beautiful. And he's showing it to us. Did you like the house? Do you see this over here? Did you like it? Isn't it incredible? Isn't it amazing? I said, it's beautiful. He says, I know it's beautiful. God's going to burn it one day. I said, well, you just got it. But you know what? He knew. He knew. Even though that statement was a little bizarre. Because my friend is alive spiritually, he's not dead. He knows. Only one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. He knows that. But if you're spiritually dead, you won't know that. You won't know that building and doing will and keeping busy will only find you not enjoying life. Allow me to mention one more wheel on Solomon's car. He looked to find enjoyment in life through possession, money, and things. This is a big area that people think they will truly find happiness, don't they? I mean, this just makes sense, right? Charles Schwab thought this was the place to find happiness. Arthur Cutten thought he would enjoy life doing this. And Jesse Livermore, he thought it was the place to look too, so that he could put one of those magnets on his car, enjoying life. Oh, who are those guys? Well, Charles Schwab was the president of the nation's largest steel company. Eventually, Charles Schwab went broke, and he lived on borrowed money the last 5 years of his life, and he died penniless. Arthur Cutten was called the greatest wheat speculator of his time. He died without a place to sleep, bankrupt. And Jesse Livermore, a bear on Wall Street, perhaps the greatest bear of Wall Street, committed suicide and gave up life. Solomon wrote this, "Those who love money will never have enough." You will never have enough. How absurd to think that wealth brings true happiness. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. Solomon had focused heavily on his three wheels, but eventually he was the wisest man to ever live, not counting Jesus, the God-man. Solomon would eventually find the answer at the very end of his search. And perhaps he found it by looking at the writings of his father David. Here's what he found. Psalm 63, verse 4 and 5. I will honor the Lord as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You, God, satisfy me. more than the richest foods. I will praise you with songs of joy. The Lord satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Happy are those who fear the Lord. Yes, happy are those who delight in doing what he commands. Delight in doing what God tells you. That's what it's saying. Find your delight in that, you will be happy. Gang, the answers were written down for us 2,000 years ago. And since then, they have not been refuted. Nobody can refute this. You and I are born spiritually dead. No matter what we do to try to argue that out, dismiss that, or ignore it, it is a biblical fact that we read. And that means that as dead people, we cannot live and enjoy life as God designed it and structured it. The only way to enjoy life is to come alive. The first step in enjoying life is connecting to the author and finisher of life. The only way to do this is by having another birth, a birth of our spirit. Bolt that fourth wheel on. Have a mind opening on this new birthday, a heart healing, a freedom that provides an awakening that can only come from connecting to God through the forgiveness of our sins that Jesus Christ can give us. Jesus gave us the answers. He said it plainly in John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Humans," he says, "can produce only human life." Remember the three wheels. We can do that. "But the Holy Spirit," Jesus says, "gives birth to spiritual life." So don't be surprised, Jesus says, when I say you must be born again. You know, the wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. It just is. Enjoying life starts there, gang. Now, there's much, much more. Don't get me wrong. Say, "Oh, I'm there." I get it. There's much more that we're going to go through. But it has to start here. Enjoying life begins when we enter onto the road that takes us towards heaven, the one that Jesus lays out for us. Now, I will be saying, you will hear me over the next many weeks, I'm going to be saying a statement, a lot of different ways, but basically saying the same thing over and over and over. And the statement is this: Westbridge, answers are not going to be that hard to find. They're not. We're going to find answers. Solutions are not going to escape us. We're going to get those solutions. Keys, cures, fixes, and action steps will all be covered. We're going to do that. But you have to do them. You have to have the courage to actually carry them out if you want to start enjoying life. If you are listening to me and you do not know Jesus Christ, you have not had a birth in Jesus Christ, if your fourth wheel has not ever been bolted to your car of your life, if you have not been made alive, or as Jesus says, if you've not been born of the Spirit hasn't been born in you, it takes courage. It's going to take courage to say yes. You have to have that courage. Without it, bang, you're dead. Tonight, I want to make sure we don't go any further without making sure everyone has what they need to enjoy life. Now, maybe you have never heard this before. Maybe this is new to you. Maybe you thought, "Well, I thought just trying to be good was all you needed." Well, friend, the Bible tells us everyone has sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glorious standard. He has a standard. We all fall short of it. So that ain't working. Maybe you, like Solomon, think the way to enjoying life is to find a relationship. "Well, if I find a relationship, then I'll find joy." Maybe you think enjoying life will come from money, accomplishments. Maybe you think it'll come from having knowledge, fame, prestige. Well, guess what? Since Solomon, many have repeated Solomon's quest to enjoy life by looking at the physical, at the intellectual, and looking at the emotional, and all of them have come up empty. Pilgrim, the road to enjoying life begins by coming alive spiritually. You must be born again, according to Jesus. And Jesus opened the door so everyone can have that happen. Jesus explained it this way at his last meal. He had one last meal with his friends before he went to the cross. Jesus had a meal with them, and he took some bread. He took the bread, and he broke the bread. And he says, this bread that I'm breaking, this is my body. He says, what I'm doing by allowing my body to be broken is I'm taking the punishment for your sins. They'll be paid for by me. You will be forgiven. Talk about pain in childbirth process. Our second birth takes the pain of childbirth to a whole new level. And then Jesus, at the end of that meal with his friends, Jesus took a cup of wine and told his disciples that the wine, well, that represents his blood. The blood that needs to be spilled to forgive sins. And the blood that would be used to write a new birth certificate for each and every person who places their faith in him. Westbridge, tonight we are solving a mystery. We are answering the question of why so many people are not enjoying life. But it all comes down to courage. Courage to believe, to place your faith in Jesus, to hand your whole life to Jesus. The Apostle John wrote this. Here's what John wrote. Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, those with the courage, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God, children born not of blood, nor of desire or will of man, but born of God. Westbridge, we have many more areas to cover in this study. Many things to investigate and unravel to why someone may not be enjoying life. But we have to establish the right beginning to start our footing properly. This is where it starts. I'm going to ask the band to return, Miss Kelly and Mr. Robert to come serve communion. We're going to do what Jesus did on that last night with his friends. We're going to partake in communion. If you do not know Jesus Christ and you want to, say, you know what, I want to have this rebirth. I want this second birth. I can think of no better way to do it than to say yes to God in your heart, ask him to forgive your sins, take his bread, the bread that represents him paying for your sins, take that, own it. I believe, Lord, I believe that this is what you did for me. And then take the cup and take it back to your seat. We'll take it together. But it all starts by saying yes to Jesus Christ's offer. Say, you know what? I've been riding around with three tires. My whole life, I had three tires on my life. And it has fallen onto the axle many times. Jesus is like, you must be born again. That's where it starts. And then we keep going from there. So, as the band plays, Mr. Robert will serve communion. Feel free to come forward, take the elements back to your seats, and we'll take them together. The Bible tells us that at that Last Supper, where Jesus would be betrayed by his friend and someone he had traveled with for 3.5 years, Jesus took the bread, he broke it, he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. When you take the bread, remember the punishment has been paid. If you've placed your faith in Jesus, ask him to forgive your sins and ask him to take the punishment for you. Take the bread. And then later in that meal, Jesus picked up a cup and he said, "This represents my blood, this cup. I'm going to shed my blood. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins." That's God's economy. That's how God works. And Jesus says, "I'm the one who sheds my blood to pay for all of your sins." He says, "Every time you do this, remember what I did for you. Let's take the cup and remember what he did for us." When he did that, he wasn't just doing something because it was intriguing or interesting. He was actually paving the way so you and I could have a spirit inside of us that's born. We can drive around four tires on our vehicle, Jesus in the passenger seat being our co-pilot, showing us where to go. That's what we're going to do. That's how we start enjoying life. Let's thank him for it. Lord, I pray that each of us tonight would understand this mystery that many have never been told about, but that you have written down and put in the best-selling book of all time. Let us not miss it. Let no one leave this place. Let no one turn off their computer or switch off their phone, still being spiritually dead. Let each one walk to the cross in their hearts, look at you, Jesus, and say, "I need you. Forgive me for what I've done. Change my heart through the power of what you did on the cross. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Guide me forward. And show me how to enjoy life." Now, Lord, I pray that you keep your hand upon us as we leave this place. Help us to stay strong through the weekdays, through the power of the Spirit you put inside of us. And Lord, prepare us as we continue to walk forward as believers in Jesus Christ, figuring out how does a believer in Jesus Christ enjoy life. Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do. I thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next week, 7 o'clock.